Okay, so this week's parsha, we have a dual kriya. We have Parshas Para, and we have Parshas Kisisa, and they're related, obviously. They have a shaychus one to another. Parshas Para, as we know, is according to some rishayim, is actually midaraisa. The Shulchan Aruch brings us a pshita. The Shulchan Aruch says Yeshamish and Parshas Zohar u Parshas Para aduma chayav lekroisa midaraisa. I mean, there are commentators that want to explain it doesn't mean the Parshas Para that we read in Shul, but Shulchan Aruch brings it. Makes it very important to hear every word and to read it midaraisa. The reason why they were misakin Parshas Para Aduma is because at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was very important that right before Pesach, everybody should be metire themselves with the Para Aduma, and they should be ready to go bring the Karm Pesach. In times of the Mishkan was put up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, went online Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So right before Rosh Chodesh, everyone went to do Para Aduma. So after the Mishkan be up, people would be able to again get ready for the Karm Pesach and other things that they were necessary to do. Rashi in Parshas Chukas points out 10 different halachas within Para Aduma that have a shaychus to the Egel. We'll go through them quickly. It needs to be donated by Klai Yisrael. So Rashi says, why does it need to be donated from Klai Yisrael? It says you should take for yourself Para Aduma. So Rashi says, why does it mean take for yourself Para Aduma? So Rashi says, because everybody, all the men, donated the nezamim and the jewelry for the egel. So everybody should now, to undo that and to be mechaper, everybody should donate for the Para Aduma. Then it says Para Aduma Tamima. So first of all, Para is a female cow, and that's coming to be mechaper for the egel. And Rashi explains, because it's a mashal, there was a little child in the king's palace, and the child soiled the floor, and everyone said, let the mother come and clean up what the child did. Okay, then it says it has to be a duma, has to be red. The Para Aduma is red. Why is it red? Because they did the egel, and the egel's called chet, and a chet is red. Im yadimu katayla. So therefore you bring the Para Aduma. Then it has to be tamima. There should be no blemish on it. So again, Rashi says, because you did the egel and you blemished yourself, so now bring a Para Aduma, which is unblemished. Okay, then it says loy ola le oil. You have the Para Aduma can never have any yoke on it. Never did any work. And again, the message is because when Klai Yisrael did the egel, before they did the egel, they were like they were dedicated to Hashem and they threw off the yoke of heaven. So you have to take a Para Aduma that never had an oil. Okay, and Rashi goes through 10 different. It has to be performed by Elazar HaKoyen, not by Aaron, not by the Kohen Gadol, but by the Skan, because Aaron was involved in Egel, Elazar wasn't. So everything about the Egel corresponds to this week's Parsha. Everything about Para Aduma that we're going to read in Parsha's Para corresponds to this week's Parsha Para Aduma. It needs to be burnt, because you burnt the Egel, so burn the Para Aduma. Then it says you take the ashes and combine it with three ingredients. It's Erez, cedar wood. Azov is hyssop, it's a very low bush, and a red string. So that, the three different species represent 3,000 yidden of Klai Yisrael that were killed. And Rashi says another thing, you rebelled against Hashem, you were Baal Gaiva. So if you're very tall like a cedar tree, you make yourself humble like a small bush. And then it says it has to be mishmeres, you have to safeguard it, you have to watch it and protect it. And just like the cheta egel is safeguarded forever and ever, that Rashi brings a chazal, that every time there's a national punishment on Klai Yisrael, there's remnants of the egel, the sin of the egel. So just like the sin of the egel is safeguarded by Hashem, the Para Aduma has to be safeguarded by us. And then finally, Rashi says that we know that the Para Aduma is metame. Anybody who's involved in the Para Aduma, the people that burnt it, the people that made it, the people that shechted it, everyone who's involved in Para Aduma is metame, because since we did the Egel and it was metame us and all the people that are involved also, everyone who's involved in the Para Aduma is going to be tame. That's the Rashi. So what's clear from Rashi? That the Para Aduma is coming to be mechaper for the Egel, which creates a very famous paradox. Because according to this, the Para Aduma is being mechaper for the Egel. But when was the Para Aduma given? When was the mitzvah Para Aduma given? So Rashi in Parshas Bishalach says, Ki sham sam lechayk v'sham nisahu. Rashi says that mitzvahs ha-mitzvahs, there are 613 mitzvahs, not all of them were given at Har-Sinai, some of them were given before Har-Sinai. Rashi says, which mitzvahs were given before Har-Sinai? Shabbos, Dinim, civil law, and Para Aduma. So that's very, very peculiar. The paradumas coming to mechaper for the eagle, which was not yet done. Right, that's a very famous problem. There are some people to go as far and say, I saw this in the Chanukah Zatayra, that's the chayk of paraduma. We know paraduma is called the chayk. We can't understand the paraduma. What's the chayk of paraduma? So Pasha Pshat is, like the Gemara Neuma seems to say, the chayk of paraduma is, it's metaher the person you spray, but the person who sprays it becomes tameh. That's a paradox. That's the chayk of paraduma. The Chanukah Zatayra wants to say, the chayk of paraduma is, it's coming to be mechaper for avera we didn't yet do. We got it before, when we came at Shrine, before the eagle, it's coming to be mechaper the eagle. And if you think deeper, what the Chanukah Zatayra is really saying is, that there's always a conflict, a paradox between free will and determinism. Rambam talks about this. We believe b'emunah shleim in free will. The Rambam writes about Hilchos Tshuva. We have to believe that there's free will, because if no free will, there's no room for nischar neinish, and that's one of the Yud Gimel articles of faith that we believe in, that if there's schar and einish, so there has to be free will. But if Hashem knows everything, what we're going to do, then it's determined, so then how is there free will? So this question, the Rambam says, there's no answer that a human mind could understand, and he quotes the pasuk that we read in the Tainus Tibur, Loi Machshav Vaisai, Machshav Vaisai Chem. So it's not really something we could understand so well, but we believe b'emunah shleima, we have Bechira, and it comes out that this is that paradox. This is the stira between Yediyah and Bechira. That Hashem knows we can do the egel, but we had free will not to do the egel. So according to that, that's the chayk of paraduma. Okay, I want to explain something a little bit differently. I said the idea in this shir of many times, but I want to talk about it in this context. There's when you're looking at the egel, there's two very strange features about the egel. First of all, right after they came out of Mitzrayim, there's Kriyas Yamsuf, they said Zeh Keli Vanveyu. Now, when you say Zeh, you know from Pesach Seder, what does it mean, Zeh? Zeh means you perceive it tangibly. At your Pesach Seder, whenever you say Matzah Zeh Shon Oichel Mal Shema, you uncover the matzahs and you point to the matzahs. Zeh means you perceive it physically. Now, Hashem is not something physical, so whatever it means, they were able to point to Hashem Kaviyachol. It means to us, Hashem is more of a Yediyah. We believe in Hashem. They perceived it so real that it was a reality. They can literally point at it. Zekil Maveyu. So how could they do the Egel? They saw the Esemachus, they saw Kriyas Yamsuf, they said Zekil Maveyu. That's question number one. Question number two is, if they're going to do the Egel, which is the most Chomer Aver in the Torah, Avodah Zarah, Gilurai, Shir Zam, Avodah Zarah is the three cat, then why would you enlist the Kohen Gadol, Aaron, the biggest tzaddik in Klal Yisrael, to join you? You want to do it with him out of the way, right? You want to make trouble in yeshiva. You don't ask the principal to join you. You do it behind his back. So the fact that they invited Aaron HaKohen shows there's a lot more than meets the eye. So what's going on over here? So if you take a look at the Mishkan, okay, the Mishkan was after the Egel. Hashem gave the tzivah on the Mishkan. If you take a look at the Mishkan, this is true about all the mitzvahs that we do. There's so many details to the Mishkan. Certain hooks need to be gold. Certain hooks need to be copper. Certain loops need to be blue wool. Why? What's all this necessary? Why is it all? Your tefillin have to be exactly square. It has to be exactly square with black ink. And it has to be exactly with the parashah in a certain order. It's clear. It is 100% clear, and we all believe this, that there's a lot more going on that meets the eye when it comes to mitzvahs. We have to perform the mitzvahs, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, but the mitzvahs accomplish something. Something mystical and spiritual, and we're not smart enough to even understand why Hashem Dafka wants mitzvahs to be in a certain way. That the tefillin have to be exactly square. If it's not exactly where it's puzzled, if the mitzvahs are not, if you didn't use the right black ink, if the Sefer Torah is missing one little letter, one break in a letter, it's a puzzle Sefer Torah. Because mitzvahs, we believe, have a certain spirituality and it accomplishes something. If we know, if me and you would be the Arizal, we could probably try to explain why mitzvahs have to be a certain way. Why does Mar have to be specifically these five types of Mar, and Matzah has to be this, and Pesach, Karm Pesach needs to be a lamb, and you have to shecht it this way and not that way. Why? If you know Seder Satori, you start to understand that there's a very big spiritual world out there. And if you try to tamper with anything, you're like a little child who's standing in front of an open supercomputer, and he pulls at the wires and says, what do you need so many of these wires for? You have plenty of wires on the right side. You don't need so many wires on the left side. You tell the kid, you don't understand the first thing about a supercomputer. How would you understand what's needed, what's not needed? And that's what it is about all the mitzvahs of the Torah. There's much, much more that meets the eye. Now, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they had Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the conduit between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe didn't come back, they wanted to create, and it actually started from a good place. They wanted to create a place of, like, similar to the Mishkan, a place and they use specifically in Egel, the Pasuk in Yecheskel says that one of the faces on the Merkava is the Pnei HaShor. They wanted to create a mystical place that they could accomplish what Moshe Rabbeinu was accomplishing. And that's why, in fact, they enlisted Aaron. They thought Aaron could even help them with this. So what's their fallacy? What was wrong about what they did? The answer is, because any spiritual benefits we get from the mitzvahs, if we do it properly, it's only because after HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah to us to do it a certain way, then the mitzvahs have that kind of potential and mitzvahs have those kind of energy. However, we can't on our own volition and in our own little minds decide that this is, we're going to dictate to Hashem, we're going to make this and that, Hashem's going to make a whole spiritual world based on what I decided on. So after the Tzivui HaMishkan, then yes, a blue hook has this kind of spiritual energy. A copper hook does this. A blue loop does this. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzavit, but before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzavit, we cannot on our own decide. We're going to dictate Hashem the terms of how religion and how spirituality should work. And that was the chait of the ego. And that's a very slippery slope when we tell Hashem, we decide to Hashem how it's going to be. That's the slippery slope of the ego. Because once you start there, that could lead to, I'll tell Hashem which mitzvahs and averus I could do as well. And that's why, that's what it means that the Parah Adum is mechaper for the Egel. What does it mean, Parah Adum is mechaper for the Egel? So the Beis HaLevi explains beautifully. The chait of the Egel was, we used our human reason at the expense of the Tzivui of Hashem. And you know what the Egel is? The Tzivui Hashem without human reason. We can't understand, we have no idea how this Parah Adum is working. In fact, there are many mitzvahs that we don't work, but Parah Adum is really outstanding in this. That when you study Parah Adum, there's so many paradoxes in Parah Adum. How do we understand it? It's Metar, this guy is Metama, this guy. How do we understand Parah Adum? The answer is Hashem is showing us a mitzvah that we there is no way for us to understand it. But why do we do it? Because it's Kasher Tziv Hashem. And that's the lesson of Parah Adum, and that's what's Mechaper of the Egel. The Egel was we use human reason at the expense of the Dvar Hashem. Hashem told us, now go ahead. You do the Parah Adum, and that's Mechaper. You use the Dvar Hashem at the expense of human reason.